Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan, the O-Dog, was with us for the first couple of hours, but he's got some panel work tonight, the first time in a long time we've said that. And Noodles, you called a couple of games this week. You know, it's not quite normal, but it's feels a little bit closer to that.
It feels like it. Like being in the building, like once the game got going, I felt very comfortable and I felt great, like talking hockey. There wasn't no COVID talk. There wasn't anything, politics, nothing. It was just, let's see what's happening. And it was like a three-hour escape. And I think people get excited for that. I'm looking forward to, you know, the Raptors game. I'm looking forward to the Leaf game tonight. You know, it'll be a busy weekend. Like, you've got some couching
everything
to do on Sunday,
going.
Man.
Like, the football games are hanging over me here because the Raptors play tonight and Sunday. The Leafs play tonight and Sunday. And the Packers are playing. And that Chiefs-Bills game, I'm equally as invested. Like, not quite as equally invested, but I can't wait to see it.
Right.
And I'm rooting for the Bills. Like, I've made that clear. I have nothing against Buffalo. I'm not one of those guys in Toronto that goofs on Buffalo. That's our American city. You know, that's where we go.
Right.
Know some people down there. Got some friends down there. Try to get down there once a year. Hit a Target. You know, do our thing and get out. But I know how much they love the Bills. How great of a sports town it is, even though it's such a small town. So I'd love to see Buffalo get a win. Love to see it. But it's always kind of in the background. Whenever I think of even the Leaf game, the Raptor game, I'm like, what are those football games going to be about? Because we've been through the whole journey. You know, the NFL season, there was so much uncertainty, and they showed up. They had no exhibition games. Camps, you couldn't get access to anything. Like, we're always just a little bit more distant. You know, it's not like I'm in Green Bay during training camp anyway, but there's no media members that are in the rooms, that are on the field. It's like everything has been through the lens of a Zoom for the whole season. And there's been some really weird hiccups with the scheduling. COVID has popped up on game days, has moved the scheduling around, postponements, all that kind of stuff. But they're here now, and everyone is cleared too. You know, there's been no there's been no positive test that I'm aware of between these four teams. So they're hunkering down. They know what's at stake. You're going to get two great games, both stadiums with some fans in them. And then at the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks, 22,000 fans will be there for the Super Bowl. And we're going to get there. Like, there's going to be a champion crowned here. And there wasn't any massive, you know, adjustment to the schedule or shutdown, right? Yeah, because the NHL and the NBA, they shut down for 4 months before they got going again in a bubble. Major League Baseball played 60 games. They didn't play 162. This is the first time since COVID hit you've actually got a full schedule. Everyone played 16 games, full playoffs, Super Bowl winner. Not the same as a conventional year, but as close to it as you can get based on the scheduling. And it feels the realest to me. You know, it feels like a real pursuit of a Super Bowl and a championship.
Well, it's weird. Like, even circling back, like tracking on Twitter, I don't know if you saw the Dallas Stars Twitter. But, like, they've got a checklist. They're having fans in the building tonight. Like, and
how crazy,
like,
is that? They're back playing after a COVID meltdown, and they're back with fans.
Right. I don't know the capacity or whatever. But, you know, talking about the NFL with limited fans, like, we have to try and get some normalcy back in this. And I know, listen, it's not gone anywhere as far as COVID. The numbers are still high. There's lockdowns everywhere and mask mandates and all of that. But, you know, people are trying to have some normalcy in their life. That's why I think this weekend is fantastic for a guy like you, who's such a big NFL fan, you know, a big fan of all these sports. Like, the NHL is, it's starting to seem like it's starting to roll now. Like,
yeah,
we got games going,
and it's the real
thing.
Yeah,
there is going to be the Carolina situation, which would feel bad. Dallas is playing their first game of the season tonight because they were postponed. So there is going to be some weirdness. You know, I did that Winnipeg game last night, Winnipeg-Ottawa. Tucker Poolman, who plays in their top four for Winnipeg, he's in COVID protocol. Like, that was just part of, like, yeah, Poolman's not available. It was weird, but, you know, Dylan DeMello's stayed at home because his wife had a baby. You know, Patrick Laine, to me, is kind of a bigger story.
It's a bigger story because it's a conventional story. He's injured. You know, I was thinking about that as you were going down that road, Noodles. It feels like, okay, we got sports going because Lowry's out with an injury.
Right.
Matthews is out with an injury. like when it's COVID, you almost just you separate yourself from that. You're like, right. it's like paperwork. Okay, I guess that has to happen now. That player right. can't play for this regimented amount of time. With injuries, you're like, that's what we've known our whole lives watching sports and being on the edge of your seat about, you know, what could happen and how quickly it can go awry. Because right. Matthews and Lowry, for that matter, will take up the oxygen in the city for obvious reasons because of who they are, what they right. represent. But Joe Thornton's going to be out for a month. Like, we're just right. getting used to seeing Joe Thornton as a Maple Leaf. He's out for a month. I don't think he's guaranteed to get his spot back when he comes no. back. I think he's in the lineup, but I don't know if he's riding shotgun with Matthews and Marner when he returns. Well, that's not a guarantee.
No, because the game's going to look different in a month. Like, the speed of it, like, the cadence of it. Like, it's a buildup. You know, this is still, like, almost on paper, like, exhibition early season. Where
yeah, knocking the rust off.
Yeah, exactly, where, you know, a month from now, that's 15 more games underneath your belt.
Yep.
Like, that's, you know, he'll have to jump on a moving train. That's tough to
At
do.
An older age, too, right? Which,
right.
Which will be maybe more difficult. Here's our TSN Hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. Where do you stand on that, Pierre? I mean, it's a month out at least, but I can't imagine even Joe Thornton would think it's guaranteed he's going to be back with Matthews and Marner when he returns.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, you want to work his way back in, and, you know, the timing is awful because you're a guy who's played in the same place forever and you're getting used to your new line mates, and I thought Joe had looked good, you know, trying to fit in. And then you get knocked back, you know, after a short camp and everything else. So it really stinks. I mean, you feel for the guy. And, you know, I think it's been a pretty painful injury, too. So
yeah,
hopefully it is not as long as they say. But, you know, this is a guy that once played in the Western Conference Final with a dislocated shoulder against Vancouver in 2011. But he'll have to let this heal here.
He'll be back. Like, it's not that he's out of the picture, but – you know, to your point, he's trying to find his rhythm, and he has been playing a fair amount of minutes. The other night he was at 17 or 18 minutes, I believe, when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were giving him an opportunity, and he looked like he deserved that time. And, you know, we'll see. The Leafs are going to have to try to fill that spot the best way possible. And Matthews is out tonight, but what about the all-Canadian division every single night? We had this discussion leading up to it. I think it's going to be great, and I don't think it's going to slow down. I don't think my excitement for it is ever going to waver. But now that we're about 10 days into it, the Habs are about to play Vancouver for the third time in like 5 days, and the Leafs are playing the Oilers again.
Yeah.
Have you changed your mood or your viewpoint of the All-Canadian division yet, or what?
I don't know. I mean, what I said to you last time I was on, it's just let's just have a final say on it at the end of the year. That's all. I absolutely enjoy it. And, you know, I worked the two Habs broadcasts this week against Vancouver, and it was wild. I mean, I think in many ways we got some of the hockey in those two games that we thought we'd get between Edmonton and Toronto the other night. But, you know, the end of the Winnipeg-Ottawa game got chippy the other night. You know, I think, you know, I feel bad. I mean, we are all people that watch the entire league. Now, you know, I know, Hayes, you're especially the least focused. But, you know, I mean, literally it is my job to watch all 31 teams. The North Division's making it so hard. There's all Canadian matchups every year, every night, sorry, and I'm finding myself consumed by them, and not just obviously the games, but the storylines in between and the things I should be checking on, and it's like we've got our own league for a year, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, we had in the last hour, you know, a pretty spirited debate on the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation in Columbus. You know, just your take, your insight, any rumblings in the background. I saw your tweet about potential, you know, teams that obviously would be interested. Any further on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of those teams that I listed have circled back over the last 24 hours. You know, GMs are no different than us. They see a guy bench for two periods and they're like, oh, I guess I better dip back into that thing and see, check the temperature with Yarmo Kekalainen. And so that's been happening. I mean, I think that the Jackets have been fielding a number of calls all day. And no guarantee that Pierre-Luc Dubois plays tomorrow night for Columbus. If, you know, it could be scratched potentially. I'm not saying for sure, but I know it's something that the team is contemplating. So, you know, I heard from a team today that said they feel, and now this isn't necessarily what Columbus told them, but more their read on the situation, that they feel that he could be, you know, dealt potentially by the end of the weekend if the Jackets get the deal that they want. And I got to tell you, this would not have been the way that the Jackets, if that happens, that's not the way the Jackets would have wanted this to happen. I mean, I think they really wanted to take their time and maybe even wait till the summer draft. But we're kind of seeing what's happening now the last couple of games between the coach and the player, and that becomes difficult to manage. So, again, I'm not saying for sure he's getting dealt here, but I can tell you that teams are getting a little more serious with their bids and might give Columbus something to think about here in the next couple of days.
Well, for those of you listening and watching it, if you missed it, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois, his final shift was one of the worst professional hockey shifts I've ever seen. You know, isolated. It was just a complete mail-in, and Tortorella clearly had enough. He didn't play again. And what makes this multi-layered for me, Pierre, and I'm sure you would view it the same way, is the history of Columbus with high-quality players, where, you know, Panarin left, Bobrovsky left, didn't get traded, didn't demand out, walked his free agents, which they're allowed to do. Same thing with Duchesne, and they went all in on Duchesne. By all counts, they wanted to try to keep him. He left. He went to Nashville. But Ryan Johansson, it got pretty ugly there between the two parties, which makes this feel a little bit different, because I might look at this, if this is any other player on any other team, thinking you got to get rid of him now. Like, you got to find the best offer. It's sucking the life out of your team. Something's got to give here. It's kind of like James Harden with Houston. Like, got to cut it. Got to cut bait. It sucks. Take the best deal. Let's go. But I don't know if Columbus can do the same thing, because of, I'm sure they have a feeling of what is wrong with us here. Like, why does everyone want to leave?
And right.
I think it makes it more complex.
And he didn't even mention Josh Anderson, which is a more recent example. Now, he didn't ask for a trade, but there was sort of the tension about how the team and he felt about his shoulder injury last year. And then, you know, he wasn't signing a new deal with them. So he's out the door. And you really don't want to deal guys like Josh Anderson at that age, do you? You're right. And that's what's going to be fascinating to me, is that with teams, you know, phoning here all day long, you know, are they going to be enticed enough by a deal to pull the trigger and just get this whole thing over with? Or does Jarmo Kekalainen sort of hang in there and say, you know, let's just make peace and wait on this? I don't know. I mean, I think that, boy, I think teams are really trying to give them something to think about. So it's going to be interesting to me this whole weekend.
Is there one Canadian team that you think makes the most sense, or you think would be most urgent to get in front of the line?
I mean, Winnipeg has always made sense to me from the get-go. It's one of the first teams I mentioned when all this broke, because of their own situation with Laine, and because he'd be such a good fit down the middle there for them. But, you know, Calgary has sniffed around that situation. We know about Montreal for sure has been in there. So those would be the three Canadian teams. Now, interestingly enough, you know, if you're making that trade, any of those teams, you're not getting them for 2 weeks through the quarantine, so something else to think about. Not that it should influence the kind of deal that can influence your franchise for many years, but I'm just saying as a little footnote. But believe me, I think Anaheim has been in there. The Rangers have a lot of interest. Minnesota, I mean, gosh, I listed a dozen teams today that I know comfortably have inquired. My guess is I'm missing another 7 or 8. I mean, that's just been the level of interest.
Pierre, I just wanted to follow up here. Do you think, and Hayes talked about the shift, and O was quite defensive of it and said, listen, you know, like, you can't judge a guy on a shift, which I agree. I think, but a manager calling has to get probably a backstory on what the hell has gone sideways there. Do they not? Like, you know, would you not need an explanation of why he wants out, or why they're ready to move away from him, or all of that? You know, you would have to ask Jarmo. You would have to ask his agent, which is Brisson, isn't it? Pat Brisson is
Pat Brisson, a CA. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean,
there's no question there's no question that those phone calls are happening. Like, let's not kid ourselves. For sure.
Right,
like, the agents fielding calls from teams and everyone making sure they do their homework. But I gotta tell you, I was surprised that there were people who felt that after they saw that moment last night on the shift. that somehow that raised a red flag. Like, were they not watching Columbus Toronto last summer?
Well, that's I brought that up earlier. Like, he's a fantastic player and was an absolute beast in the playoffs last year. My only problem with it, Pierre, is I would think, you know, when the puck drops, you're still a pro and you have to work your ass off and give yourself the opportunity to get traded. Like, give Jarmo everything
he
can. Like, drop it in his lap and say, I'm going to be an animal here. I'm going to be a beast, and a team is going to want to break down Jarmo's door to get me instead of it kind of going the other way. And, again, I don't want to just lay it all at his feet, but I think there's a lot more here than at play than is obviously in the public.
But it's sort of, you know, I feel like everyone involved has a bit of culpability. Like, you know, I mean, how many layers do you want to peel here? Like, okay, no doubt that Dubois should be playing better than this and you know, shining the apple for the teams about, you know, making offers. On the other hand, after he had his news availability at the start of camp, sort of dancing around his trade request, and Jarmo Kekalainen had his news availability where he was careful not to confirm that he had asked for a trade and sounded polite. You know, Torres is the guy that went on the radio last week and said, "Oh yeah, he's asked out, and we're not really sure why." Like, so my point is, you know, I don't know that Torres has enhanced the situation. I don't know that the player has enhanced the situation. And, you know, and furthermore, I mean, the interesting thing in all of this is that you got a really smart agent here who made a gamble that instead of just staying home because they want out, remember, they were RFA right before camp. They signed a two-year bridge deal thinking we'll work with the team to, you know, this is an easier asset to trade. And I think, by the way, that's the right way to go. I think it's harder to trade an RFA. But I'm saying everyone's had a gamble in all this, and right now it's just gone off the rails, quite frankly.
Yeah, it has, and John Tortorella's in the middle of it too, which is always going to come up. You know, where does Tortorella play a role in this? Does it matter? You know, I got to believe that the team is going to side with him. He's their guy. He wants to be there. Why wouldn't you? But it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out just simply over the next couple of days, him in Columbus, whether or not you put him back in the lineup, what he's going to bring to your team, because they want to keep winning games. And you also got to – I'm sure you got to canvass the players. Forget Tortorella and Kekalainen. Forget Dubois. You know, I'd go to Nick Foligno and say, do you want this guy playing or not?
Right.
Because if you guys are sick of it, then forget it. We're not going to subject you to it either.
And by the way, I'm one thing to bring up with John Tortorella is that he is in the last year of his deal, interestingly enough.
Really?
Through all this. Yeah, he's one of the five coaches remaining – along with Rob Rendemore, Travis Green, Jeff Blashill, and who am I forgetting?
I couldn't tell. I'm not going to save you on that one, on coaches and careers left. And, well, there's a guy. I mean, you spoke with
Rick Tocchet. Rick Tocchet's the other
Rick
one.
Rick Tocchet, okay.
Yeah, and so my point is I think the Jackets want to re-sign Tortorella, but in the middle of all this controversy, Tortorella has a lot at stake this season as well.
Right, yeah. Right. Good point. And you spoke with Babcock earlier this week.
I did.
He seems like he wants to get back into the limelight. From my perspective, he's doing work with NBC. He's taking interviews like yourself, which he hasn't done before over the last year plus. And my viewpoint from further away is it's kind of he's trying to get back out there, get his name back out there, speak on the record of what was going on and where he wants to take this, and eventually he wants to get behind a bench again. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was your viewpoint on the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the timing, he had always, one of the things he said to me is that he had always wanted to take a good year off from the spotlight after, you know, every coach who's coached in Toronto kind of does that, right? I mean, it's white noise city coaching this team, and, you know, whether it's Ron Wilson or Randy Carlyle, you don't hear a lot about them for a while after they leave, and Babcock took that route too, but in terms of the exact timing of finally granting an interview, you know, I think he felt it was important to address, you know, some of the obvious issues before he popped up on NBC. And I think he's right, right? And so, that, you know, that's why he agreed to the interview. As far as whether I think he's going to coach again, honestly, I don't think he's sure. I'm not sure. you know, he doesn't need the money. I mean, MLSC owes him $5.875 million U.S. a year through June 30th, 2023. I like to remind people.
Not bad.
Yep. So if he comes back, it's because it just, it's eating at him so much. And I think in part it is. Like, I think he still has that passion for the game. But I don't think it's a guarantee he's back. Like, I think it's, you know, Washington appealed to him, I think, because they're ready, you know, ready-made, need a jolt, but they're there and they got a shot. That appealed to him. But there's no way in my mind that he goes back to a team like he did when he came to Toronto and does a scorched earth tank from day one and build a thing all the way up. I don't think he wants to do that this late in his career.
No, and let's be honest, he didn't get to see it all the way through. So
right.
he's probably
right.
like, I got scarred doing that. It worked for the first few years, and then right when we couldn't get over the top, everyone looked at me, and he had to pay the price for it. So I wouldn't necessarily blame him for that. Jump on board a team that's maybe underachieving and see if you can get over the top. That's what I would suspect
yeah.
will happen with him at some point. Well, we'll see, buddy. It's going to be a fun weekend, a bunch of games, a couple of NFL games, too. Who do you like this weekend, by the way?
So, well, the spread in my picks pool with all these NHL riders is 3.5. KC's 3.5 favorite. I don't know what spreads you've seen. And Green Bay's 3.5 favorite. I thought the Green Bay spread would be larger myself. So I don't know what the Vegas wise guys are seeing that I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Green Bay all day, and I'm struggling with the other matchup.
Yep.
Obviously, I want to know what Mahomes is like. I know he's going to probably play, but like, what's right. he like? I think the Bills are playing better in Kansas City right now. Even before Mahomes got injured, I felt like Cleveland was giving them all they could handle. And I think the Buffalo Bills are going to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Listen, I hope you're right. I agree with your assessment. I think Buffalo has been the best team going for about 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But to go into Arrowhead, Mahomes is playing. It's going to be as difficult of a challenge as you could possibly expect, but that's what it should be if you want to go to the Super Bowl. You know, the Bills are well aware of that. So we'll find out come Sunday. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
And as a final note, I don't think we need Tom Brady to win another one. So
no,
that's just my
that's
note.
Okay. Step aside, Tom. Let Aaron Rodgers win another one. Be very nice.
All right, guys.
All right, buddy. There Good he stuff. Is, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, it's it would be one. I mean, we discussed this
Crazy.
Yesterday when you were away. You can't get a bad combination of Super
no.
Bowl matchups. You know, there's four possible matchups, and you can make a case for all four being the most compelling, the most entertaining in terms of an option. So you can't go wrong. This is a dream come true for the NFL. Dream come true. And I think CBS will have the AFC game this weekend. Fox will have the NFC game. I don't know who has the Super Bowl this year, though. I'm not sure if it's either CBS, Fox, or NBC. It rotates. But whoever's got it is probably thinking, we are about to strike gold here.
Oh, for sure.
Because if it's Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, even Buffalo is a team, they would be fourth, I think, in terms of compelling – in terms
right.
of ratings, like bonanza. But on the NFC side of things, even if it is the Bills, you're either playing Rodgers in the Packers or Brady in the Bucks. You know,
yeah.
that alone is going to sell.
And they're Buffalo's a likable team. Like they're
Very
not,
much so.
You know, they don't they're not cocky, they're not firing comments off in the media. Like they're just a hardworking, really good team.
And everyone's like, got a connection to Buffalo somehow.
Right.
You know, it's like a gritty, blue-collar, upstate New York town.
I'm happy for them. Josh Allen has really come into his own. Like it's nice to see. You're right. There's compelling storylines for all four, but I just coin flip. It'll be interesting.
Like, it's going to be fun. Both games. I just hope they're close games.
I think your Green Bay. I've got a feeling they look all right. Which,
they look very you know. Good. It's scaring me a little bit that people are so convinced they're going to win, though. Like Tampa played pretty well last week. Like they played well at New Orleans. Although how much of that was Drew Brees just had nothing.
Right.
Nothing left.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I think CBS has the Super Bowl. So Tony Romo and your boy Jim Nance will be calling it
wow.
live from Tampa in a couple of weeks.
Peter
King, our NFL insider, will join us on the two upcoming games. We've got some audio from Dana White ahead of the big fight tomorrow, McGregor-Poirier 2.0. He's calling out all the pirates out there, the streaming pirates, and he's claiming that they have something going here, I guess with the FBI, and I'm not sure I'm buying it. Okay, we'll play it. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. Austin Matthews out tonight for the Leafs. Kyle Lowry out for the Raptors. Leafs Oilers 2.0 over the last 72 hours. Raptors yeah. Heat 2.0 over the last 72 hours. And both Toronto teams lost on Wednesday night. And now Lowry's not playing and Matthews isn't playing. So not exactly ideal for the city of Toronto right now. But that's okay. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. A little bit later in the hour, big fight tomorrow in the UFC. We'll throw out a prediction on that. I think McGregor's going to win. I'm not convinced it's going to be easy for him, though. Yeah. I certainly don't think he's going to knock Poirier out in the first minute or whatever he's been predicting.
No.
But
that's not happening.
It's going to be a good fight, good card, and Dana White is making sure no one's going to pirate the fight. You know, he's trying to avoid people that are illegally streaming, and he's claiming that they might have their sights on someone that I guess is offering up this streaming for free. And
really?
I'm not sure I'm buying it. Yeah, we'll play the audio. I'll let you dissect this because you got a
all
pretty
right.
good read on how truthful these type yeah. of statements generally are.
Sure.
Into that a little bit later in the hour. But big weekend in the NFL. Generally as fun as it gets. Two great games, four great teams. You can't get any better than this. Here's our NFL insider from NBC, Peter King. Peter, I'm sure in years past you would have been at least one of these two games. You know, this maybe this feels a little bit different for you this year.
Well,
but,
it'd be hard to be at both of them.
Yes,
unless,
of course.
Unless I time traveled.
right. That's a good point.
Of course. Yeah, last, you know, hey, 2 years ago, Tom Brady in Arrowhead beat the Chiefs. They played great down the stretch and beat the Chiefs and spent some time with Brady afterwards. And he spent some time with Mahomes one-on-one, just alone. And that was really a totally, totally memorable championship game 2 years ago. And, yeah, I mean, look, I'm one of those, and I saw the Chiefs again last year. In the game that got them to the Super Bowl. But I mean, what I think of this weekend, I mean, I really, really love this weekend, but quite honestly, I would really love it if the NFL and Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, my NBC partner, raised this issue today. And I've thought it for a long time. I think what the NFL should do is have a primetime game on Sunday, one of the championship games Sunday evening, and then you've come back with the second one on Monday evening. If you're going to have a dead week between the championship game and the Super Bowl, you can do this. It's really almost an overflow, you know, when you got these two games back to back. But anyway, Sunday will be a great afternoon of football.
That's an interesting point. Why Monday over Saturday?
Well, because on Saturday, it's most likely that you'd be asking at least one of the teams to play a short week game. You know, and when you play for the championship game, you probably would like to be as fully rested as you can. And so if you play one on Sunday, you've got two teams that are on regular rest. And if you play one on Monday, you've got two teams that have that extra day, which at this time of year, I'm sure they're happy to have.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't happened yet, you know, to your
yeah.
point, Peter. And maybe it's the networks, you know, maybe CBS, Fox, they'd fight over who gets Sunday because Sunday is the conventional date. And maybe they feel like the ratings would be higher. I'm not sure, but I would think the next time the TV deal comes up, we always kind of revisit this stuff, right? My understanding is ESPN, maybe it's ABC want to get in on potentially hosting more playoff games or even get in on the Super Bowl rotation. So maybe that's something that comes up next time.
I think it's absolutely right. I think this next TV deal is going to have some interesting little wrinkles. I do know that the NFL is very interested. The only reason they didn't do it this year, it put a Monday night game on Wild Card Weekend. They didn't do it this year because it would have gone head-to-head with the college football championship game, and that's something they won't do. But I do think that they're looking for ways to get more of their postseason games in prime time. The other thing I think you're going to see in the next TV contract, I think there will be a streaming tributary so that whether it be Amazon, whether it be, you know, whatever, one of the streaming options, so that an internet company would vastly overpay for, let's say, for the sake of argument, 10 Thursday night games or whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. But I think they would really start to make up some of the revenue that over the last year, and it's going to be longer than that, probably over a year and a half period, the NFL's revenue is going to be way down, and they're going to be wanting to jack that up. And I think the way they're going to jack it up is by getting one of the streaming companies to one of the internet companies to pay for a package, and vastly overpay for a package.
We're Peter King, our NFL insider from NBC. So Patrick Mahomes is cleared today. I think everyone knew that was coming. I kind of expected a decision to be announced closer to the game, but it happened today. He's been practicing anyway, which is allowed under concussion protocol. I get the impression, you know, I expect him to be at 100% from that standpoint. We were talking to Joe Thomas a couple of hours ago, though, and Joe brought up the issue with his ankle, I believe it is, or foot, as maybe being a little bit concerned, or more concerning, where if he is not as mobile as he generally is, that will really greatly benefit the Buffalo Bills. And I'm sure the Bills are planning on testing that out early and often, wouldn't you think, Peter?
I'm sure they will. I mean, the one thing, this becomes a spy versus spy game right now. There is no question whatsoever that the Buffalo Bills will want to know very early in this game is how mobile Patrick Mahomes is. That's one part of it. I think the other part that you're going to see in this game is that, look, I think the Bills have been, recently especially, Jerry Hughes has been fantastic. They've been an underrated team at getting pressure, probably better late in the year than they were early in the year. And so I think that is going to be a challenge for Mahomes. If he struggles with any part of his mobility, I think that the Bills are going to try to exploit that for sure.
Yeah, I can't wait for both games. I look at the Packers-Bucks game. There does appear to be a lot of support for Green Bay based on the way they've been playing. That's not just Vegas, but just the way that they've been playing on both sides of the ball. And I support that. But what ends up coming back to the forefront is what happened, I believe, in week 6 when the Packers got up 10 early and Tampa just steamrolled them from there on in.
Yeah.
You've been covering the game for a long time, Peter. Is that a mental note? Is it a legitimate part of the narrative? You know, how do you apply what happened during the regular season to potentially what could happen on Sunday?
It's the only game all year that Aaron Rodgers has been overwhelmed by a defense. Mm-hmm. And what's so interesting about Tampa Bay, there's no defense in the NFL that I would call as much of a momentum defense as I would call Tampa Bay's. You saw what happened in New Orleans. You know, after the safety, Antoine Winfield Jr., punched out the ball from the Cleveland receiver. Was it Jarvis Landry? I forget. Or Njoku, I forget. But after he punched out the ball late in the third quarter and then Devin White, the linebacker, recovered, they were on a roll. It's like, you know, a hot gambler in Vegas at the craps table when everything is coming up roses for him, you know, and that is what Tampa's defense reminded me of in week 6 against Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has not been overwhelmed, not even close, by any defense all season. And that day, for two solid quarters, the Tampa defense just really had the better of a team that at the time really looked peerless to everybody.
With Peter King, our NFL insider, we've been discussing all week, Peter, just trying to project how this is going to play out. Getting back to the networks and TV and ratings, I don't think there's a bad outcome here. I think you could have any of the four combinations And a guy like yourself, you could write 10,000 words on every single one, probably in an hour, because it's got so much potential. If it's the Bills against the Bucks, they're back in the Super Bowl for the first time in 25 years, and the guy who's been terrorizing them for the past 20 is waiting for him. If it's Rodgers and Mahomes, it's, you know, the original Patrick Mahomes up against the new Aaron Rodgers. You know, I can't think of a better setup for the NFL with these four teams, knowing that two of them are going to the Super Bowl and the matchup is a can't miss.
How incredible, when you think about it, is the fact that the Tom Brady Aaron Rodgers game is the preliminary game.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the first game of the doubleheader. Usually in TV, I mean, the way the NFL does it is AFC has the first game one year, the NFC has the first game the next year. So they're just sticking with what they always do. But really, how amazing is it when you think that quite possibly, you know, the last big matchup of the Brady-Rodgers career, of Brady's and Rodgers' careers, is going to be in a championship game, maybe with some weather in the beautiful tableau of Green Bay. That is really, really cool. But then you get to the other one, you say, this could be, and again, I definitely would want to put Deshaun Watson in this one, but you could be talking about the two best, could be, not definitely, you could be talking about the two best young quarterbacks in the absolute golden age of quarterbacks in the NFL. And that is why this weekend is as exciting a championship game weekend as I recall.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Enjoy every second of it, Peter. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for this.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Peter King, our NFL insider from NBC. You can't go wrong with that. And
he's
right. It just happened to play out that way based on the scheduling, but that's the appetizer. Brady Rodgers gets you oiled up and ready to rock for Allen Mahomes, the nightcap.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Awesome, man.
It's going to be great theater. I hope the games are good, too. Like, I hope they're not stinkers.
I don't expect that they will. I can't picture any of these teams getting blown out. You know, history might suggest that Buffalo would be that team because they've never been in this spot. You know, this is completely uncharted territory. And is the moment just too big for them? Like, maybe they show up and they're like, I can't believe we're here. It's Kansas City. There's Mahomes. You know, Super Bowl champs, and they just fall flat. But I don't picture that. I think they're too well coached. You know, I think they're too deep on both sides of the ball. And, you know, if Kansas City's down early, Mahomes can bring them back.
Well,
right?
You're right. What makes – I don't know. This is a ridiculous analogy, but the other day Ace Ventura was on, and all I could think of, like, do you think one of these games is going to come down to the kicker?
I would be shocked if
you know what I mean.
Einhorn
like,
out there.
Talk about the pressure, like the game-winning field goal or game-tying field goal, and you shank one off. Like
I think you might have I'll bet you just looked into the future, Noodles. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're because they're 3-point games. You know, out of Vegas.
Vegas is thinking
it's coming down to that anyway, more or less. And they're both outdoors. They're both cold. Kansas City's not that much warmer than Green Bay.
Yeah,
wind is humming, you got Finkel and Einhorn.
I know. It just scares me because I hope it's, you know, I'd have to look at the rosters. I'm not off the top of my head, but, like, I hope all these kickers are, like, veteran kickers. Like, you're not, you know, you've got some, you know, second-year kicker in there and you can't handle the pressure or panics or – you know, a bad snap. Like, I think it's going to come down to something crazy like that. And, you know, you need to kick the tie or, the win and he shanks it off or, like, I don't know.
Or
just
becomes a hero. Hits like a 54-yarder at Lambeau in the win, Mason Crosby.
But, yeah, boom. And you're right. And that's it. They build a statue after him.
Yep.
Like, that's, you know, I hope something like that. But you know how it is. It always comes down to, like, one play. You know, all I could think of, remember that catch by Edelman?
Yep.
You know, like just stuff like that. Those are legendary plays that are cemented into your history.
Forever,
right?
Man. And these are the weekends to do it, right? This is when everything is amplified by 10, if not 15, and then it's by 20 or 30 at the Super Bowl. Just keeps getting larger and larger and larger. Exactly. The Leafs lines are out for the game tonight. We'll tell you about what the second, third, and fourth line looks like. I can tell you Hyman will be with Tavares and Marner. So they're kind of loading up that line. Those three played together a lot last year, 2 years ago. They're right. Very familiar with each other. We'll get into the rest of those lines, what Dana White is saying about people trying to pirate the fight tomorrow from Yaz Island. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. The 11th annual Bell Let's Talk Day is January 28th, and we can all play a role in creating positive change. Join the conversation through calls, texts, and on social media. Let's help break last year's record. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine in a moment. Obviously want to pay tribute to Hank Aaron as well, who passed away at the age of 86, and the home run king. And a lot of it's generational. I mean, I'm sure, like, I would talk to my dad, and I'm sure he'd be like, Hank Aaron, that's the guy.
Right.
If you're 90, 95, you're probably like, it's still Babe Ruth for me. And if you're younger, it's Barry Bonds, but you feel a little bit awkward about that, you know, myself included. Like, I saw Bonds, and I saw him when he hit 70-plus home runs, and the guy was a machine. I've never seen anyone more dominant at the plate than Barry Bonds. But I know what was going on in the background, and
Luster's come off him for you?
Well, like that's I know what he was doing. You know, like we all know that what he was doing, but he still had to step into the box and hit bombs like he did.
Right.
And, you know, no one got intentionally walked like Bonds. He was an absolute machine. There was his whole career, he was a great player, but there was a three or 4 year period there as locked in, as feared of a hitter as anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah,
but Hank Aaron was well before my time, but well aware of his accomplishments and passing away. 86, that's a great life. So obviously we wanted to make sure we paid some tribute, a small tribute to the iconic slugger himself, Hank Aaron.
Absolutely.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Just looking at the two NFL games, I'm sticking with my picks, man. I love it. I got the Packers at home, -3.5, and I'm on Kansas City, -3 at home against Buffalo. Throwing out 20, you can score 40. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Okay, so we got McGregor-Poirier tomorrow.
Yeah.
From Yaz Island. And it should be a good fight. I mean,
yeah, I think it will be.
I think it'll be a good fight. I guess they're boosting the pay-per-view price. And down in the States, you got to be an ESPN Plus subscriber. And they're expecting that this is going to bring in just a fortune for them.
Right.
But it's been an issue since the beginning of the fight game and the internet, quite frankly. Like, it's not only the UFC. It's MMA in general. It's boxing, where if you can find it for free online, there's a lot of people that are like, I think I'll take option B and not pay for anything and watch it on the iPad. Here's what Dana White had to say. He's over there. He's in the Middle East. And he was asked about pirating and the concerns about that. And here's what he had to say earlier today.
So I went through and I picked. I said, you. You. You're the guy. And I told my people, I want this guy.
Wow.
And guess what? We got him. We got him. We're watching his house. We're listening to his phone conversations. And when he puts up this, if he puts it up on Saturday, we got him. He pops this link up on Saturday, we got him. And we will arrest him, and I will prosecute him. I will not be nice. I will not give him any leniency whatsoever. I will go guns a-f***ing blazing on this guy.
So apparently Dana White is Dog the Bounty Hunter now, because he's the judge, the jury, the executioner. I just don't buy it. I think he put it on too thick. You know, like he's claiming we're the FBI's, that they got a lot of things going on right now in the world. You think they're going to put people on the ground at someone's house waiting for them to put the link up to McGregor-Poirier, and then Dana White's going to come charging through the door? Like,
it's
come on.
One guy, like, that's it, like that controls this like pirated link.
I guess it must be one. There's probably a million links online, but there must be one that's highly popular that everyone kind of knows about. And I understand why Dana's sensitive to it. It's costing him money. I get it. He just phrased it as if he's storming through. He's telling the cops what to do. Then he's the lawyer in the courtroom representing the UFC. He's going to be the judge that determines, you know, the penalty in the end. It was too far for me to believe that there's any truth behind it.
It's a little rich. I agree. It's a little heroic, but I'll be honest. I'm spending the money. I have no idea. Is it $99? What are we paying for this weekend? Probably $99.
Yeah,
right?
It's high. I think it's like 70 in the States. That's with ESPN Plus. Up here, it's a completely different program. It'd be closing in on $100. But I'm with you. I'm not pirating anything. I got no interest in that. I'll pay for it and watch it. I'm with you.
I always feel if you're on like one of those pirated sites, they're watching you through your camera anyways. It sticks in my mind. Did you ever see Zuckerberg at the Senate hearing on his computer and there was he had tape over the camera?
Yep.
Even he knows they're
that
watching.
That is so greasy. That told a lot of people all they really need to know.
Exactly.
I don't think Dana White has the ability to demand that the FBI or the CIA, Interpol, all make sure that he gets his pirate.
Yeah.
Anyway, Leafs coming up next. Raptors in action tonight. Enjoy it all. It's going to be a great sports weekend. We are out of here. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Chat then.